No comment.
Why were you at the dockyard with a large amount of unregistered iridium last night?
No comment.
Are you aware that iridium is a controlled material?
No comment.
And that an iridium blade has been linked to several high-profile and very violent murders in Tarthage in the past month?
No comment.
Nia and Nathan were sat opposite the Dragonborn from the docks, one of a pair they'd arrested. He was short and green, his hands manacled to the table in front of him. The interview room was small, with a false wall to one side that appeared just like the rest. It was in fact a solid illusion cast by a small box on the floor. Behind it, Balasar was sat down, only a foot or so from the heavily scarred Dragonborn, although they didn't know it. They'd interviewed three of the four detainees since they'd arrived at the watch office earlier that morning, or maybe it was late last night. It had been a while since any of them had slept. However, their initial excitement had turned to frustration quickly. None of the three had said a word except no comment so far. Balasar sighed and stretched before leaning in, close as he could, to stare at the Dragonborn manacled to the table. His face was blank, his voice monotone. He was sat straight up in the seat, fingers interlocked on the table in front of him. Balasar watched as Nia snapped the case file shut in front of her. They both stood up as a street watch entered the small room to escort the Dragonborn prisoner out. Once he'd gone, Balasar stepped through the illusion wall and appeared next to Nia and Nathan.
"What do you think we're doing wrong?"
asked Nathan, rubbing his face in his hands before looking up at the ceiling.
"We still have one more to go," said Balasar. "The human that tripped over. Maybe that's the one that'll crack."
"My money's on her," said Nia confidently.
"It's a bloke,"
Nathan reminded her, with a yawn, rubbing his eyes. Nia nodded and smiled at Balasar. "Fourth time's a charm. I don't mind taking this one alone if you two want to get some sleep." Nathan nodded instantly, his eyes red. Balasar thought for a moment, studying Nia, but then also nodded.
"I may wait in the office. Rest my eyes. Nathan, we don't know what Nia will find. Come on, let's get comfy,"
he said, as he and Nathan made for the door. As they exited, Nathan saw a street watch bringing the final prisoner in for questioning. Instinctively, he held the door open for them and locked eyes with the human man. He watched the street watch escort the man into the interview room and manacle his hands to the desk before walking back outside and shutting the door behind him. Nathan caught up with Balasar, who was already halfway across the office.
"We arrested him before?"
asked Nathan, nodding back towards the prison cell.
"I don't think so. We didn't have a record when we brought him in,"
said Balasar, opening their office door and letting them both inside. Once inside, Nathan drew the blinds on the one window overlooking the yard as Balasar shut the door. In the half-light, they both pulled out their chairs and sat down, their feet on the desks in front of them. 10 minutes passed in silence until...
"You reckon Nia will crack this guy?"
Nathan asked.
"Oh, undoubtedly," replied Balasar, pulling his hat down low over his eyes.
"Yeah?
Absolutely.
Wanna bet?" Balasar thought for a moment.
"No."
Nathan nodded. "What makes you so sure? The others didn't crack." Balasar smiled and shrugged.
"Dulac Moss," he replied.
"The ship?" But Balasar was already asleep.
Hey, I'm Tom.
And I'm Stuart.
And we're from the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
We talk about all things connected to D&D lore.
And we're on the Robots Radio Network. So if you're into Dungeons & Dragons or you're into lore, then come check us out. You can find us on any podcatcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get podcasts.
Roll more dice.
That's the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast.
"Don't you have homes to go to?"
Balasar and Nathan started and woke suddenly, the latter knocking over a stack of books in the process. The room was hot and stuffy, filled with thick half-light. Nathan checked the clock on the wall. 4 hours had passed since Nia left to interview the final prisoner.
"Anything?"
asked Balasar, rubbing his eyes. Yep, sung like an owlbear. Nia's voice came round the corner and into the office. Fourth time lucky. They have a secret handshake signal thing and everything. She smiled, and the other two exchanged tired smiles with her. She shut the door behind her as the office's usual menagerie of sounds began to pick up. Sounds almost professional, said Nathan, as Nia rolled her eyes before giving them a demonstration, raising one palm to her face, fingers pointed across her eyes, and then extending it out like a wave. No shit. We're sure they're not just trying to hail a wagon. She rolled her eyes again. It's not all good news, though. Turns out that last night, it's just one half of the operation. And the one that did the talking, just a bagman. Someone paid him and his friends take a few cases across the river, give them to someone else who turned up with a wagon. Then the wagons keep on rolling on. To where? Asked Nathan, rubbing his eyes and then furrowing his brow. East, apparently. What else did the searches of the wagon and the boat find? Mainly iridium, unregistered. Small amount of drugs, a lot of platinum, and gold, and lots of sound sticks, said Sherman, who'd pulled a notebook out, reeling off a list. So much money. Oh, there were crates of it, Chief. 15 grand, mainly in gold, but like I say, platinum as well. They all fell silent. Why iridium? It's so specific, finished Balasar. What uses iridium? Nathan asked the room. Nia raised an eyebrow. I mean, except for Morthos, let's assume they're not making swords. This is way too much for just one sword. He rubbed his temples as the din outside the office seemed to be getting louder and louder. Sherman snapped his head up and walked to the door, pulling it open, clearly about to bellow at someone, when a young half-orc streetwatch rushed over to him. What the bloody hell is going on out there? It's like, riot, Chief, by the bombsite. Protesters, military, it's kicking off. Nia, Nathan and Balasar exchanged looks as Sherman swore and turned to them. This takes priority. You do not leave this case. We have people for this nonsense. And with that, he marched out of the office, slamming the door shut behind him. A moment passed. They all grabbed their coats and batons, pulling the door open and making for the rear yard door of the watch station. Spilling out into the yard, three of them made their way around the offices to see what was unfolding. They could already hear the chanting of both sides of protesters, accompanied by orders coming through the crackling megaphone of sorts. They made their way further around the building into the square and stopped. Hours before, the bomb site had been desolate, except for a few who needed to be there. But now it looked as if every single resident of the Southern District and Pleasure Dune had found their way to this point in the city. The watchman inside had mentioned large groups of protesters, but as far as Nathan could see, it was the people versus the Tarthage military. The military looked all but surrounded, around 20 young men and women packed into the inner cordon that had surrounded the blast zone. Surrounding them were men, women, children of every race. They were chanting, screaming, some of them yelling insults as others brandished homemade signs. The military was armed, heavily so, with large crossbows, swords. Nathan spotted a couple of them wearing chainmail armour under their shirts. There was a tense moment as one soldier raised their crossbow in the direction of the watch as they advanced, before quickly lowering it again on seeing the blue hats and coats. Nia, Balasar and Nathan exchanged looks before nodding. They pulled their hats down low and walked towards the throng of people. They skirted around the edge, keeping their heads up and their eyes keen for anything that shouldn't be. More than once, members of the crowd turned their attention to the three of them, but quickly backed off as they too clocked the watch colours. Eventually, though, they made it to the front of the crowd and saw the true desperation of the military's position. They were surrounded on all sides, the tape barriers that once surrounded them. There were a few feet between them and the horde of Southern District residents that were shouting and screaming. Nathan clocked a couple of signs. Who watches the watch? Vote Rurik. Make magic, not war. The messages screamed down from their hastily constructed plaques. Nathan shook his head. The sound and sheer amount of people was making his head swim. On the front line of the military's small plot of land, he spotted a young tiefling, his crossbow raised and aimed into the crowd. Nathan took a chance, grabbing his badge and lifting it above his head as he charged forward, breaking across the small no man's land and pushing between the two soldiers. "Who's in charge here?" he called out. One of the soldiers turned to him and shrugged. "Didn't come here with a commanding officer," the half-orc shouted to him. "No commanding officer? How are you out here without a commanding officer?" It was a routine movement through the city. Sweep the blocks looking for anyone looking to start something. Nathan winced hearing this. The din, the people. There was a migraine building behind his eyes. He started to feel sicker and sicker as he tried to focus on anything. You didn't think that marching down across the site of a mass murder looking like soldiers, it might rub people up the wrong way. We're just following orders, Watchman. The half-orc turned to face the crowd as something pinged off his helmet. We saw a crowd of people carrying candles. Candy supporters worship fire. Morthos Candy. We made a judgment call. Another rock pinged off his helmet, and the half-orc raised his crossbow. The crowd fell back a few feet. From between two sets of protesters' legs came a child, elven and screaming, hair matted into her face with confused, frightened tears. Stay back! This is your last warning! The soldier screamed at the crowd. Nathan's head was swimming as he fished in his pocket for a sound stick with one hand. The other found the shoulder of the half-orc, trying to get his attention away from the protesters, to lower his weapon. As he raised the sound stick to his lips, Nathan realised he'd felt this way. Right here in the Southern District Plaza, once before. The ringing in his ears had reached a crescendo, and then suddenly stopped. The crowd had clearly heard it too, and fell into an eerie silence as a familiar voice filled the plaza.
People of Tarthage, have you not suffered enough? Have you not knelt to the boot of civil servants, and soldiers, and watchmen long enough? I told you before that none of them speak for you, but you didn't listen. I don't blame you, but I think another lesson is in order. In a way, our struggles have aligned. The military break up your vigils. They also make it harder for me to work. Did you miss me? I'm sorry about the train. I was being chased down by the watch. I wanted to surrender. They wanted to crack my skull. I hope the next one will make us even. Rurik Gromalog wanted me here, so now I'll take his head and his skin.
The words vanished into a hiss of static. Nathan found himself face down on the cold earth. For a moment, there was silence. He shook his head, staggered to his feet, looking towards the shoulders. His head swam again as he stood up straight. He felt something whip past his head. Instinctively, he turned in the direction it had come. The half-orc soldier had raised his crossbow and loosed a bolt in the direction of the crowd. Nathan turned around and saw the little girl, her face still red and soaked from crying. She was unhurt. But behind her, a woman had staggered backwards into the crowd. The crowd parted and was now crawling backwards towards the body. Nathan realised that everyone was screaming. The woman was covered in blood that pumped from a deep wound in the centre of her chest. He scrambled over to her, only to find his path blocked by a sea of arms. They were pushing him backwards, away from the body, as more and more screaming filled his ears. The painful buzzing of furious voices took over. Nathan felt his knees buckle, and he collapsed back, his head smacking against the cold earth behind him. He looked up at the sky, numb. This has been Tales of Tarthage. This episode was written and edited by Samuel Bradley. The title music was Who Am I to Complain by Alec Michael Wilson. Extra sounds were provided by Zapsplat.com. This was a Starter Set Studio production.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know play D&D and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amarin. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2, coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you like bad movies?
Do you find yourself defending bad movies, saying things like, well, the soundtrack was okay, or the costumes were pretty fun?
From the previous hosts of It's Not That Bad podcast, we bring you Fresh Tomatoes, the movie podcast, from Simone LaRue and Chad Ekovitz.
Every week, we review two movies that did not do well critically, but we say, hey, there are some nice things about them. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes was wrong.
Maybe they're all fools, and you should watch these movies regardless. We'll also talk about scenes that could have saved it, and we'll often refer to Simone's cats because they're amazing and adorable, and we love them.
And at the end of each review, we will tell you whether we would watch this movie again, or in what circumstances we would recommend you watch this movie.
So, join us on July 9th for the first drop of our main episode, and then 2 days later for our drop of our minisodes.
And on Robots Radio Podcast Network. Come see us on July 9th. We love you so much already.
Bye! Bye.